Prayer for illumination. Please join me. Loving God, we pray that your Holy Spirit will strengthen us, be devoted to the teachings of your word, that through it we may hear your voice and follow it into eternal life. Amen. This morning, as I was reviewing the 23rd Psalm in preparation for reading it this morning, I realize we normally hear it at funerals for some reason. And it's a good psalm at funerals, but as I was looking for different translations to see which one I wanted to read this morning, in the NIV version, I realized that this is not just a song in my toolbox for funerals. This praise could actually be used in my everyday life for those times when I don't know what to pray, I don't know what to think, I don't know what to do. This could really be my go-to psalm every day. This is from the NIV Bible. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack for nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me for all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
I thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. And I agree with you. It's an everyday kind of psalm. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for this very day. We thank you for being our shepherd. Thank you for guiding us, but more so, thank you for once again speaking into our lives, again and again and again, creating in us anew. And most of all, thank you for that new life that comes through you, through Christ. It's in the name of our Savior that we pray. Amen. There's a particular television show that I was watching, and in this particular episode, it shows a couple driving in a frozen tundra. Do you know what I mean whenever I say frozen tundra? It was scary for me to see, no question about it, because I don't want to think about frozen tundras. Things that are more icy and cold and bitter. All right, enough of that kind of bad language in church. And they were driving through this, and all of a sudden they had their possessions in a trailer behind them. They had their young son in the back seat, and all of a sudden their car starts giving them problems, and they pull over to the side of the road. And this is one of those areas where there's not a whole lot else that you can see. Or if you see somebody, hopefully they'll be passing by on the highway. And the man gets out of the car after a particularly intense argument and going back and forth, and he gets out and he slips on the ice and he finds himself stomach on the ice and the snow, nose down into the cold and bleakness of the environment. And you know what he starts doing? Praying to God for an answer, for hope, some sort of sign that you're there. And he looks over to the side and he sees something sticking up, a small little red handle, out of the bleakness of that environment. And he walks over there, and it is an ice scraper stuck into the snow. Does everyone know what an ice scraper is? Some of you are very intimate with that. I just want to translate those things for people who might not be aware. An ice scraper. And he pulls it out and he starts digging and he finds a briefcase. And he uncovers the briefcase and he opens it up and there are stacks and stacks of money inside the briefcase. He's stunned, and all he can say at that very moment is this: God is real. But he says it in a way that he believes it. God is real. And he gets into the car and his wife's looking at him like he's completely lost his mind, walking through the snow. And all he can say to her is, God is real. And that ends the scene. Fast forward to a commercial that I saw where the individual says, I've paid my dues. Looks into the camera. I've paid my dues. And it continues with people, well, they start singing the lyrics to a particular rock group's song, one of the most favorite songs. And the title of the song is We Are the Champions. Okay? I've paid my dues. And you know what it is an advertisement for? Audi. And a really, really expensive, fancy sports car. In other words, I've paid my dues. I deserve this. We are the champions. So this is what I get. The problem that I have with that scene in the television show and with that commercial is that it is incredibly poor theology and unbiblical. And yet society continues to inundate us with these kinds of images. Well, God's all of a sudden going to just take care of all your problems, preferably with a suitcase full of cash buried in the snow. Now, friends, if we're waiting here in Yuma for a suitcase full of cash buried in the snow, guess what? Or if we feel, well, if I do enough things that God wants, then I can get something to reward myself for all that good work. Nice job. Nice job. This is a truth of the psalm, a reality of the scripture that was just shared by our sister in Christ so beautifully. In a consumer-driven society, one that we have all those kinds of images that I was just talking about, it's going to be difficult to hear a simple and yet radical message of this psalm. God is the only necessity of life. You want me to repeat that? God is the only necessity of life. You know, I understand we're pulled in all sorts of different directions. I understand that we get all sorts of different messages. But this is the message of this particular scripture passage. And so, indeed, it is an everyday kind of thing. No question about it. Every day. Can we remember that? God is really the only thing that I need. Now, some of you could say, in that scene, as they had car trouble or they ran out of gas, you might be looking or thinking about somebody that you know who lets the gas tank get too low. Or you ask them, do we have enough gas? And if they have, and if it hasn't, that light hasn't come on that says you need gas, yeah, we have plenty. We can get there from here. And there's trusting God. And there's trusting God, but there's also testing God. If we are willing, if we are willing to be vulnerable with God and trust, there is a grace that we feel that I can't really even describe fully. It's a grace that's spoken of in this particular passage. One that I have offered at most every memorial service that I've done. Every service of death and resurrection, generally. I will speak those words of the 23rd Psalm, and I'll do it in the King James Version. And as I'm sharing it in the King James Version, I don't even have to invite other people to share along. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And I see the mouths moving along with me. There's something very poetic about that. There's something beautiful about that. There's something that rings in our ears and sustains us in our very hearts. There's something very familiar about it as well. But for us to embrace it every day or every moment, knowing that God is the sustainer. God is the source. God is the beginning. That, my friends, is a gift that we are called to reclaim today. A lot of imagery of shepherding, imagery of sheep here, and the imagery of shepherding especially would have been familiar because in ancient times, kings were often seen as shepherds. Those who provided for their people, those who took care of their people, those who provided safety for their people. So this image of God doing all those things is not a stretch, is it? Not at all. People would have understood it. We can understand it as well. And there are a couple of other parts and points to this particular passage that strikes us. Whenever it says, he restores my soul, the Hebrew word for soul actually would be better conveyed as my whole being, everything about me. Whenever we think about Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, the Shema, a great, great commandment. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart. The word for soul there is similar to the word for soul in Psalm 23. So they both refer to our whole being, not just our soul, but everything about us. In our time of offering during worship, what do we say? Lord, here I am. It's an offering of ourselves, everything about us laid before God. Here also, it's very similar. The Lord restores my entire being. Just as we are called to love God with our entire being, God restores that entire being as well, restores everything about us. You see, God's grace is an all-encompassing grace that takes in every single aspect of ourselves, the good and the bad, the things that we're willing to share and the things that we kind of keep hidden or we think we keep hidden. God realizes it. God sees it. God's grace approaches that which we think is hidden. This is a God who knows everything about us and still loves us. In Acts chapter 17, verse 28, Paul offers words of truth. In Him, we live and move and have our being. In Him, we live and move and have our being. Without God, we are but a shell. Without God, life is empty. Without God, we are going to be scratching and clawing for meaning, but we will never attain it. Because without God, we're missing. We're missing the most essential component in our entire lives. God is a God of restoration, a God of redemption. And God continues to work those restorative powers and the redemptive powers each and every day. What do I mean by restorative powers and redemptive powers? I mean those things that restore us after we have been hurt, after somebody has taken advantage of us, when someone has said something nasty to us, whenever there is brokenness in a relationship, whenever we are carrying brokenness in ourselves, and we've been carrying it for years and years and years, we don't really even realize it's something that God wants to receive. We just look at it as something that we're supposed to carry all the time. Think about that. Have you ever had that kind of brokenness that you've carried? Have you ever had to carry baggage in your life? Something, a resentment, a hurt. You've carried it and carried it, and maybe you spend a lot of energy on carrying that. Well, we have a shepherd that wants to restore us, but God needs to receive that thing that you've been carrying first. It's like surgery. If you don't cut out that disease first, guess what? It's going to spread. God wants to remove whatever it is that is keeping us from experiencing His grace so that He can restore us and redeem. When we feel lower than dirt, when we feel like we're just a stinky, smelly sheep, when we think that we're incompetent, when we think that there's no way that God could ever love us, guess what? Because of the cross, because of what God did for us through Jesus on the cross, we are redeemed, reminded of our own value. But God values us whether we believe it or not. I think maybe that's the key. We don't always believe our own value in the eyes of God. We don't believe that we have been redeemed, forgiven. But it's true, friends. It's the greatest truth of the cross. That one who was on the cross is the one that spoke these words, also from John chapter 10. So again, Jesus said to them, all of those who were gathered, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep." Where else have we heard about sheep today? Shepherding? "All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate," Jesus says. "Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." Hear these words. Please hear these words. "I came," Jesus says, "that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep." Once again, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. There is this dependency that is mentioned, or that is referenced in those words of Jesus. A dependency that we are called and encouraged to have with God through a relationship with God through Christ. But is it easy to be dependent on anyone else? No, it really isn't. It's a challenge. If you've ever been left someplace, waiting for a ride, for instance, somebody forgot, or they were late, in your mind, you start thinking, boy, I'm never going to trust them again. And then fill in the blank about places that things have happened to you or situations. And you started thinking, I'm going to mark this person off of my list for trustworthiness. God can be trusted. And while it's a challenge sometimes in society, it's a reality nonetheless. You see, none of us is self-made. There's no such thing. None of us is particularly strong and independent. We are God-made. If God makes us, God's fingerprints are all over us. And therefore, we are dependent upon God, utterly dependent. Certainly, we do things, we work, we save, we study, we do all of these things that are important. But God is ultimately the one who meets our needs. God is the one who gives us rest, just as the psalmist has said. God is the one who slows us down to drink in of His goodness and grace. Does God always give us a briefcase full of money to answer our prayers? No. No. But are we dependent on God? And is God the source of the things that are truly lasting, that will not fade away? Yes. God's grace is a reminder of that. My prayer is that today you would experience God's grace. And also that you would read the 23rd Psalm again today. Not in light of a surface of death and resurrection, but simply in light of the resurrection, the life, the truth, the great shepherd, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Read those words again and think about how God is speaking into your life, how God saves, how God gives us rest, and maybe just reflect on that by drinking in the goodness and love that is spoken of to us through the psalm today. How are we trusting in God? How are we dependent on God? How are we not trusting in God? That's a question that only we can answer. We're encouraged to trust. We're reminded of all the things that God does. But what are the things that are standing in the way of us trusting completely? Think about that question as we pray.